Live from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. This is J-Rod Concerts, the podcast with Jamie Rodriguez. A trip of music discovery, Jamie is picking people he thinks you'll really like. Musicians, artists, producers, and everyone involved in the world of music. Here's your host, Jamie Rodriguez.
What's going on? Hello, J-Rod Concerts family. How is everybody doing as we approach the holiday season quickly upon us? Right now in Nashville, it's like 5:30 p.m. and it's pitch dark, you know? It's definitely the holidays and they are here. But welcome to J-Rod Concerts, the podcast, guys. Thank you for joining us. Always appreciative of you guys tuning in. Wherever you may be listening to, thank you. If you are new to our show, quickly, I will ask you for a small favor. We love it when you guys take 30 seconds of your time, subscribe, wherever you're listening to, give us a review, give us a rating. You know that helps a lot. So we truly, truly appreciate that. And yeah, guys, like really excited for today's guest. Today's guest is called John Sierra. And you may remember him because in the mid-2000s, he was in a rock band called Atlas out of Raleigh, North Carolina. He's still out of Raleigh, but he is now as a solo man, and this is his debut album, The Wonder, that just came out, and it is really, really profound and powerful. It's a thoughtful journey into his heart, really, and it goes through a lot of his lows and a lot of his highs, what he's overcome, addiction, you know, a lot of stuff. He grips with searching for his soul, catharsis. It is a really powerful listen, guys, and you guys are going to love it. And he's going to perform the title track here, The Wonder, at the end of the episode. So you guys will sure as heck love it. If you want to find out more about John Sierra, johnsierramusic.com. Without further ado, let's jump straight to it. John Sierra on J-Rod Concerts, the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Where are you coming to us from, John?
Raleigh.
Raleigh, beautiful. Research Triangle.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Where are you? Yo, you're in Nashville.
Nashville, John. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, to introduce you to our audience, obviously, you know, you have this Friday from when we're taping this. So it'll probably be out like a week when we air it. And your EP is coming out. Really special album, by the way. It comes out 11/15. And, of course, you were previously with a renowned Raleigh band, Atlas, as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, absolutely. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So what is the feeling like, John? Let's start with this. When, like, you know, an EP that you've poured so much into is, you know, mere days away. Like, is it like a sort of excitement? Is it nervousness? Mm-hmm. What are you feeling right now?
That's a really good question. There's a mixture. Like, so I've gone through excitement. I've gone through fear, concern, some numbness, almost like I don't want to think about it. Like, what if this, you know, the fear of like, what if this launches and it does nothing? You know, like all those things are wrapped up. But there's also the excitement of like, I want to share these songs with others. Like some of the songs were not singles, like Maybe We're All and The Other Side of Grief. Those are two of my favorite songs. And I hope that they impact folks when they listen to them. So like that makes me excited.
Definitely. No, they're very beautiful. We'll get to the songs. Actually, let's start with a song. Actually, I was going to get to it later, but like, you're right. Like, you know, when you're talking about like a lyric, like, you know, choked by the grind of the 9-to-5, you know, desire started to die. And that's just track one of the album. Man, like, it's like, welcome to the EP. Like, so I guess the question is, John, so many with this stuff, right? This is obviously autobiographical. Doubts that you had in your career. You know, when you're in a situation as an artist, John, where the hill seems steep, where, man, you're like just, it just seems like a rough patch ahead. What's your why? Like, what do you dig into? What have you dug into that's kept you going and to this place?
That is a really good question. I think there's a couple things for it. That song was actually written to myself. Like, I wrote it like a conversation to myself. This is A Dream Worth Keeping. And part of what I think motivates me is just, I don't want to turn around in another 5 years and go, I was too afraid to try. Mm-hmm. And like I would love to say that I have this deep message that I want to get out to people. That is part of it. Like, I'm very careful with the lyrics I write. I want folks to resonate with that message. I want to connect with people. But there's also this thing inside of me that's like, but what drives me when I'm so scared of the hill?
Yeah.
When I can't see past Everest in front of me? When I, you know, you put in all this time and you're like, oh my God, is there going to be a return? What drives me is almost a sense of fear of regret of like, I've lived so much of my life hiding with my music. I'm not doing that
Right.
again. And that's
Yeah.
where that whole song came from, was like, it's almost like me, it's like steady on. It's like the daily, it is a, in it, it's weird because like the dream itself is a grind, even though there's also like grind of a day job too. You know, you have
Sure.
both. But both are a grind. It's just for what and why and what's motivating me. And like, and I love music. I love writing. So yeah, that's what I would say to that.
I love it. I love it, man. So it's just like, yeah, absolutely. Like it's like your only fear is the fear of living with regret, which is a good one, I think.
Yeah, totally.
I love it, John. Yeah. So want to ask you about a few other songs. We'll get to those in a minute. But in research, obviously, it came out that one of your big influences is Billy Joel. And but what we really love about it is the album that changed your life. Is not the traditional, the ones that like kind of everybody points to. It was actually River of Dreams, which is, some say Billy Joel's most, some would say dour album, more realistic. He's got a lot of conflict in it. I find it to be one of his most powerful. Wondering if you can talk to us about why that album shaped you so much. I love that story.
Well, okay, and what's interesting is it's really the song River of Dreams. It's not even the full record. It's like it's interesting because I think as I've gotten older, as I go back and I listen to people, like I didn't grow up listening to Bruce Springsteen and even Billy Joel. Like I really only heard that song and it gripped me as a kid. And I'll talk about that in just a moment. But I listen to a lot of underground indie artists. Like that's what I grew up on in like my mid-teens up through my late teens. Tooth and Nail bands, all that. Copeland, those were my favorite bands. But Billy Joel, I heard. I remember, 8, 9 years old, going to a lake house with my mom and dad's friends. I remember it was an A-frame lake house, and we fished and stuff. But I was riding in like an old, like late or at the time, mid late '90s, no, early '90s Chrysler Sebring, like convertible top,
Right.
winding through the pine trees, and I heard that song. And all I remembered was in the middle of the night. I go walking in my dreams, Nevada, in the middle of the night. I got caught up in that song, and
Beautiful.
I never forgot it. I didn't listen to it even as a kid, but I never forgot it ever. And I hear it on the radio, and it would every time it would grab me. The Way by Fastball did the same thing to me. And as I got older, when I look back at those lyrics, River of Dreams, I understand why, because I felt like what Joel was writing. I mean, I felt
Beautiful.
it. Like there's something missing inside of me. Since I was a kid, I've felt that. I
Yeah.
still can feel that day to day. And I think I connected to that even as an 8, 9 year old. I think it moved me, gripped me.
Isn't that amazing, John? I mean, we love all the arts, the visual and the movies and all that, but isn't that amazing about music? Well, like what other art form can make a child in 1 minute, in 3 minutes, completely feel like that and change the course of his life? It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, and I think that was like I would say that's one of the pivotal songs that it gripped me. Like that was the first time music gripped me. It was the first time that like I couldn't shake it. You know what I mean? Like it's like,
Yeah.
man, I connected with it.
I love that. Man, what a great story, John. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah,
Love that.
sure.
Yeah, so your previous band, Adolescence, obviously, crucial part of your artistic journey to where you are today. And it's been well documented when the band went on hiatus. I mean, you guys were pretty open about some of the challenges you had as a person and as a band. But I guess the question is, now that we're in, end of 2021, which is hard to believe, like when you look back at all that, and when you look back at that period of the hiatus and the announcement, what are some of the blessings and some of the newfound maybe character strengths that you look back on today that you say, man, if it wasn't for that hurt, I wouldn't be here today?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, a number of things happened with the band. I actually had left prior to when they took their hiatus. And I would have been the first one to leave. I had blown my life apart and blown our
Yeah.
marriage apart and through addiction. And in that process, the band would have eventually asked me to leave, but I knew I needed to step back in order to have any hope, any semblance of hope for my marriage, which there really was none at that time. But if there was going to be any at all, it was like the band could not be there. And that was very clear to me. Like, I knew that. I was like, I cannot choose this over her or over my life or even over me, you know, like over all those things. So I stepped down right as Into the Sea was being released, right as Atlas signed to Face Down Records. And what I do know about the band, and we always had this, we always had the challenge of having multiple writers, multiple songwriters, and each of us saw a song differently, and each of us brought something creatively to one another. So it was like going to war to form those songs. I mean, yeah. It was, bah, 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 bah. But they were so, the output is so beautiful. And I will tell you, it's so weird to listen to it because I'm like, I wrote that? I don't even remember writing that. Like, where did I come up with that? How did I come up with that? That's not even possible. Like, it's almost like a divine kind of collaboration in a way sure. with God. It's very interesting. So anyway, that's how what I would say about that is like a lot of that was that conflict. I know that the lead singer had a kid too. So mm-hmm. I had left, and then Seth, the lead singer, he had a kid and he was looking at his life. Like, I think I'm done with this. I need to spend time with my son, which I love that he did. And he had other dreams too. Like, he illustrates child's books and things. It was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's funny how life and God and the universe works like that for sure, John. Totally. And, you know, talking about the new songs, of course, I mean, you talk about like The Other Side of Grief, which you briefly mentioned. That song struck a chord. I loved it. It's the one that you finished with. But, you know, I have to ask you, John, when you sing, you really put yourself out in these songs, like you don't give a damn, like this is who you are, these are your feelings for your fans and for the world to see. Are these songs hard to perform, John? Because like they are so, so personal. You really let us into your guts. Is it like also almost therapeutic, or is it like hard to perform these songs?
Man, you asked some great questions. It depends. I'm working on this right now. Like, as a person, I'm working on where my identity and my value does not rely on what other people perceive me as. That's what I'm working on. Now, I will say that that's kind of the caveat of this whole thing, but I will tell you that, like, The Other Side of Grief, it's really hard to perform when there's nobody listening. The whole song is about that. The whole first verse is about singing to a room that just echoes back, because there's actually, my house is full of people, but nobody's really listening. And the truth is, I really wanted my dad like to be engaged, and at the time he wasn't. Different now, but then he wasn't.
Sure.
And so it is hard to perform that one live, and I feel that often. Like, the other day I was playing a show is at like a brewery, and you know, people are talking and they're doing their thing and they're not paying attention to me, and I have to, like, literally, it's a war in me, like, that's okay, John, it's okay, I don't need them to engage me, I should still be able to show up and perform. That song in particular is hard though for me, because it's like, man, it almost feels like I'm like, I am showing you my heart, and then people are just sort of like, oh, nice, like,
yeah.
You know. So that one is a challenge for me sometimes, and I have to like reorient myself to truth. This is not my identity, you know.
That's what I say about that song. Why did you finish with that one, John? Obviously, they're all beautiful, but you know, the track order, like, it's so key, and like, you did such a great job. But I'm curious, like, why did you finish with this one?
That's one song I felt unbelievably strong about the placement. And there's two reasons. One, almost all of my favorite songs from any record are the last song. Almost synonymously, or it's in that last couple.
Yeah.
That's one. Two, it's the most, even the mix, the way that Kenny Varga mixed it, and Shane, who's a producer, we talked about this, like, it's the most raw sounding. Like, the idea was it would sound as if you're in the room with me.
For sure.
And I think Kenny really captured that. And that's the other reason is like, I it felt like a bookend. It felt like you kind of go on this journey through that record. And then there's this song that, yeah, it does this. I mean, it takes you deep in, but the bridge leaves you with like, oh, made me cry. Like tears are a doorway to where there is actual healing. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the end of the record is like, and I really believe God is in the midst of this, and I'm not necessarily explicit in that song, but I would say that he's explicit in this, in that the healing is meant to be the end, not the pain.
Right.
And it's like that encapsulate. It's weird because the record's called The Wonder, but that is part of the wonder. It's almost it balances out the whole record. It just felt right in that last place.
The pain is part of it. Like, basically it's part of the process. Yeah.
But it is the door to which we get to healing, because the reality is none of us escape life without pain. I wish it wasn't so, but the other side of that is it doesn't have to be the last word for any of us, no matter how bad we hurt.
Sure. Man, it's super. I would love your album and love the way you finished it. Like you really nailed it, man. You're being so good with your time, John. Thank you so much. Totally. What plans do you have, like, you know, for next year, I guess? Like, are you going to tour the EP a little bit, going to go around the country, give folks some of this light that you have in this music?
I appreciate that. I would like to do that. I don't know if I'll do a full-blown tour, probably like maybe some mini things if I can work them out. I would like to do that. Erin Anderson is like my consulting manager of Olivia Management. She's awesome.
Yeah.
And she and I have talked some a bit about that. I really want to do some full band work. And I'm looking at that, like meaning like go into the studio to record full band. My wife, she sings on this record. She and I have really spoken about potentially pivoting to a duo. We'll see if that happens. So that's on the line. I really want to do it together with her. And she does too. And have like some of the writing where she can sing on it. But for this record, like I would love for her and I to do that together. Like that's kind of a dream, is like she and I together on stage, even acoustically for now. Playing out, and like I would love to connect those songs with people. It would be amazing.
Cool, but yeah, cool. John, so let me just ask you again, you know, like what plans do you have for 2022? Because like I said, these songs, they're very deep, and I think that you have a message to share with people, and I think that people deserve to hear them. What plans do you have to share them on the road?
Thank you, man. I appreciate sharing that. Yeah, so I was working with my manager, Erin Anderson. Like she's kind of managing consultant to work out like what might it look like to do some touring on these songs. And if I do, it'll be short runs, like short focused runs, probably regionally, because that's where like most of my following is. And I'm trying to build that up. My wife sings on this, and I would like her to take more of a pivotal role, both on this record and future records. So I would love for her to go with me and
very cool
with me. Yeah,
is that hard to work with your spouse, John? Because you know, I mean, you look at some of, I mean, you look at you know, some of the Paul and Linda McCartney, you know, Sonny Bono and Cher, you know, there's been a lot of like, there's a rich history of a husband and wife duos in music. Is it hard to just like kind of like keep the lines and the boundaries?
Let me answer not from their perspective. I'll answer from my perspective. I don't think so, because if it's authentic and it's real to begin with, then it's an extension of who we are. And if we're not putting on a show to get people to like us, then yeah, it might just be real and grungy and grimy. Like we're just in the middle of an argument. Like we're pissed at each other and then we're on stage. You know, I haven't experienced that a ton, but that's how my approach will be.
Yeah.
In terms of like with the studio, it was awesome, actually. Like, I'm like, I don't want to share the stage with anybody else but my wife.
Nice.
This is amazing, you know?
It's I love it, man.
Yeah.
Love it, John. Well, listen, you've been so good with your time. There's a rumor that you may play a little song for us. Is that an accurate rumor?
Yes, I would love to, yeah.
Oh, man, we're honored. We're blessed. Thank you.
Cool, man. All right, I'm going to play The Wonder for you all. So this is the title track.
Nice.
All right, here we go.
And I still feel the wonder. And I still feel the wonder. And I still feel the wonder. And all that time my soul felt alive. It's long since I've remembered how the wind can move my soul. It's long that I've forgotten, oh, the sound of beauty's call. But I hear her voice in the morning breeze, and see her in the setting sun. Oh, that time when my soul felt alive, felt alive. And I still feel the wonder. And I still feel. remember as a boy. Rippling streams and rumors of gold. A wild black lab in the mist-covered mountains. Oh, the longing in it all. Then it was there that I heard beauty's voice. It was there my heart began to rise. And I still feel the wonder. And I still feel the wonder. Subtle memory of God. His love draws me to life. His love draws me to life. His love draws me to life. Come alive. Come alive.
Unbelievable, John. Oh, wow. Thank you. Absolutely stunning, man. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us.
Thank you for your time with me, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've been listening to J-Rod Concerts, the podcast with Jamie Rodriguez.